Hey friends, over 60% of you are listening to me right now on an Apple product. iPhone, iPad, iTunes. I need your help. The truth is, Apple will make this podcast more discoverable to new listeners the more reviews it has. So I'm here asking you to take a moment and leave a review. If you've gained any value from this podcast, the greatest thing you can do for it, besides spreading the word and telling friends, is leaving a review. It's real simple. If you're on your phone, head over to my podcast page within the Apple Podcast app and leave a review. Or if you're on a computer, you can head over to my podcast page within the iTunes app. That's it. That's all I ask. And if you have other podcasts that you love, do them a favor and do the same for them. It'll make their day. Now let's get this podcast started already. I did a poll on Instagram asking you which episode you wanted to hear of this show, an extension of last week's show, 25 Things About Me, which did so well. People really seemed to enjoy that show, and I got several private messages of people saying, hey, can you elaborate on this topic? Can you elaborate on that topic? Can you go a little deeper? And I'm happy to do that. So the two that I got the most interest in was number one, my history in internet radio and podcasting for the last 10 years, and also 7 years in bands. So happy to tell you that I'm going to do both, even though this show, the 10 years of podcast and internet radio history, one, I'm still going to do the 7 years in band show. It'll just be released on another week, whether that's next week or the week after, but you will still get the show regardless. So no worries there. I'm here to please everybody as much as I can get away with pleasing everybody. So just stay, just stay tuned in, stay subscribed. Tell a friend, if you think some friend will find value in this show, whether it's my weight loss talk or other different topics that I go deep into, share with a friend. GarysPodcast.com. You can always follow me on Instagram at Gary Cantrell. So with that out of the way, let's get right into the show. My 10 years in podcasting and internet radio. I think often there is maybe some confusion about podcasting versus internet radio, or, are they the same? Are they different? Are they, they are kind of different. Podcasting is, for the most part, recording something like I'm doing right now on a portable recorder or on a computer or through a mixing board, recording that audio, whether that's me and other people, or you and other people, and then you record that and you upload it to the internet on a podcasting hosting website. That's a podcast. Internet radio, live radio, that is where you connect to a server that broadcasts to people, and whether that server, talks to things like TuneIn Radio, or, I've done all that stuff. That's easy stuff to get to be able to listen to it on your phone, to stream it on your phone, TuneIn Radio, super easy to do. I've done it a million times before. And who knows, maybe one day I'll do it again. What I found personally was I felt like there was more value in just podcasting, because I can record it on my schedule and then you guys listen to it on your schedule. It's not, hey, I'm going to be live at this time and, join me at this time. Because what I found often is you'd have some diehards who really support the show and they want to listen live and interact, which I always appreciated in the various shows that I did. But podcasting is just, I think it's just the winner out of all of it. It's just so simple. I record a show at a certain time that's convenient to me, like just as an example, and I would never do this because I'd be bomb ass tired. But if I said, oh, let me record a podcast at 1 a.m, like how many people are going to listen to me live at 1 a.m? in the morning? You know what I mean? So, I'll talk, about my live radio history, because I think there was some value in that as well at a certain time. And then there's also doing live internet radio, recording that, and then turning that into a podcast. You can do that as well. You can do a live broadcast from, like I used to do, 8 to 9, 8 to 10. You take that recording and then you upload it to your podcast host, and people can subscribe to that. So if they missed it live, you just say, hey, catch it on the podcast. So there are points where they can be similar. I first got into the world of podcasting probably, well, before 2007. I say 10 years. I listened to podcasts before 2007. It was 2007, 10 years ago, that I started doing them myself. But in 2000, probably late 2005, early 2006 is when I discovered that podcasts were in fact a thing. And at this time, we didn't have iPhones at this time. We had iPods, and I had an iPod. I had the, I think, the third gen white click wheel, or was it the fourth gen? I don't know. And then eventually I got the iPad video, which was like a whole new world. Like back in the day when you would download movies from the internet and you could, you know, rip them as a MP4 and sync them to your iTunes and all that kind of crazy stuff. So it was pretty wild back then. It was like the wild, wild west. But I listened to podcasts. I was into, you know, wrestling podcasts. That's kind of where I got my thing. I remember back in the day, there was a guy on something called Cable Radio Network, CRN. His name was The Shadow Man. And he had a wrestling live call-in radio show that was broadcasting on the Cable Radio Network, which I don't know if you guys ever had this back in the 90s, where you'd have like a cable channel that was just like, you know, text on a screen, and then there was like a radio station playing in the background as the audio. There's a good chance that what you were hearing, if you ever came across one of these channels, was something called the CRN Cable Radio Network. And they had, you know, dozens of channels, music channels and talk channels. And the Shadow Man would appear on the talk channel. And I just remember being so captivated by the Shadow Man. I still have some old recordings of his show, which just blow me away how ahead of the time he was, and just the delivery of him and his friends sitting around in a radio studio talking wrestling. And it just sounded like, you know, like you and your friends sitting around talking about wrestling and then taking live phone calls, joking on wrestlers, joking on people. And it was just, it was fun. There was also this other guy, Dr. Richard Chapman, who was also on CRN, who would air, I believe, right before Shadow. And so me and my friends used to prank call Dr. Richard Chapman to get love advice and, you know, random stuff like that. And if I have it correctly, I think I Googled Richard Chapman, and I think if I have the same guy, I think he passed away in 2001, like 16 years ago. So that's a real bummer. But back in the late 90s, I would call his show every week getting fake love advice from a doctor on a cable radio network channel. So that was always fun. And then in 2006, I heard of a website called PW Torch. Wade Keller, he was doing, you know, podcasting, he had a membership website. He had like a, you know, wrestling behind the paywall, where basically you would pay a monthly fee, which at that time, I think it was, probably $9.99, $10.99. And you would get, you know, they would call it, I know there'll be some of you guys that don't like wrestling at all. And I'm going to try to keep this as non, you know, deep wrestling and more kind of like on the surface stuff. Cause I know people just, they hear like geeky wrestling and they get turned off, but basically like think of like insider information about wrestling, and Wade would sell this information as he was a journalist. He still runs his website, but he had podcasts for his members where he would go on and give his thoughts on wrestling, like in-depth thoughts. And people would always tell me, you know, because I talk wrestling with people and they say, oh, man, you're so opinionated. You know, the way you talk about wrestling is so fascinating. And in 2007, I started to think, you know, what if I had my own podcast? Like, what would go into that? And at the time, I was kind of in the twilight of my music career at that time, or lack thereof, which you'll hear in the other podcast, 7 years of me and bands. And I was thinking, I'm like, yeah, what about this podcast thing? This is kind of intriguing. I think that it could be, you know, fascinating to people, but I didn't know like what's that market. Like, I knew Wade Keller had, you know, probably thousands of subscribers, But like, what am I going to get? Like, is there a market for this? And so around March, I started doing research about wrestling podcasting and wondering, like, what is that all about? What is that scene? And what I found out was that there were wrestling radio shows. You know, I'm not going to even think about coming on here and saying I was the first. I was not. Excuse me. There was a lot of wrestling podcasts that were out there in 2007, not nearly as much as there are today, because anybody could literally get started on a wrestling podcast today. And the market, I think, is so oversaturated that, you know, I've got a wrestling brand, which we'll talk about later in the show, that like, I don't even know, is it worth my time to revive because of how oversaturated the market is right now. And with wrestlers doing their own podcast, which we'll also get into, I feel like, you know, maybe it's better if we just let those guys talk about it as opposed to fans ranting and raving about wrestling. So we'll get back to that. But in 2007, I was doing the research and there was probably maybe 20 or 30 shows that I knew of. Now there's hundreds that were doing wrestling podcasts, you know, and a lot of them were just that. They were podcasts. As far as live internet radio shows, that number probably was cut in half, at least from what I can tell. And if there were more, they were just like on rogue websites, like, you know, they're not like widely listed. For the most part, a lot of these shows were podcast based, to my knowledge. And I was looking up like websites, like how do you stream a radio show on the internet? Like at the time, it just sounded so weird. And I didn't know the things to Google. I didn't know that things like Edcast were a thing, or Skype, like to take phone calls for that purpose, was a thing. Like I had no idea. And I came across a website called youbroadcast.com where they were doing this very thing. And it was, you know, you would plug up a mic to your computer and you would hit go live and you would go live to people, but you didn't really know like who you were talking to. And as far as I know, no one heard this show at all. I took the MP3 of the show and I uploaded it to MySpace, which I'll get in. I know. I'm going to date myself immediately the moment I mentioned MySpace. But I uploaded it to MySpace and got like 10 or 15 listeners of that first show. And it was fun to do. I enjoyed it. I obviously thought it was a little rough around the edges, but I was gonna figure out my mojo as I went along. And it was just, it was so interesting that very first show. But I realized that this youbroadcast.com thing just really wasn't super appealing to me. And I don't feel like it, you know, I don't know. It just didn't seem to fit me. And I was talking with one of my friends, Richie Drake, who was, you know, we were talking together about like, you know, looking up where could you broadcast internet radio. And I came across this website called blogtalkradio.com. Now, Blog Talk Radio, very similar. There's another website called TalkShoe. And the premise is, and Blog Talk is still around. As far as I know, they've since started charging a ton of money and giving you a lot less. But back in the day, you got a lot more for no money. And basically the premise was if you had a phone and a computer, you could do a radio show. And how you would do that is they would give you a toll-free number that you would dial on your telephone. And you would use your computer as a quote-unquote switchboard. And you talking through your phone was a microphone that would then broadcast to people. And, you know, at the time it seemed like such a great idea. I would later learn like what good quality actually sounds like, because this was not it at all. You know, the quality is just not there with Blog Talk Radio. But at the time, like, I didn't know any better. I was just like, hey, this is a way to distribute my content. And so that's why I jumped in as deep as I did. And I did ponder that thought of live versus podcast. I was wondering, like, should I go live every week or should I just make it a podcast? And the reality of the situation was I am my own worst critic in many situations, and I would simply just tell myself, like, you know, like, you take music, for instance, and this is something I'll talk about in that music podcast, but there'd be so many times where I wouldn't like something I would hear, and I would just delete it and go back and redo it. So for me, if I had it live, there was no net. There was nothing to save my ass. Like, I had to say, you know, what I was feeling, and I had to, you know, run with it. I had to go with it. So there was no choice. You just had to be, you know, you just had to go all in with it. So I chose to go live, and I think that that was the best choice for me. Once I decided to go live, I went all in on Blog Talk. I went to learn it. I went to understand how it worked. And once I realized how easy it was, I made my decision. I was ready to go. And when you start out on Blog Talk, if you have no experience or what have you, like, you don't just get to jump into a primetime slot. Like, you've got to earn your stripes, so to speak. So I was stuck at midnight on Saturday morning, you know, Friday going into Saturday. And God damn, that was so tough to explain to people. Tune in Friday night at midnight or Saturday morning at midnight, Friday going into Saturday. Trying to explain that to people was super confusing. And I did that for probably 2 months, maybe 3 months. And then I finally, like, unlocked my account to do prime time. And that's when I decided Thursdays at 8, I discussed with Richie. I was like, you know, what are these other podcasts doing? What days are they on? You know, let's look at wrestling news cycles. You know, what's a wise day to do? And Thursday at the time was the day to do that. So Thursday at 8 was the decision. I decided that in order to succeed at the show, I needed a co-host. I needed to get, you know, a co-host and you know, somebody I could trust, somebody I could bounce off of. And when I put out a thing on my MySpace, now MySpace, I was super, super motivated to promote the show on MySpace. This is back in the day where, you know, you could get something like a band profile or a music profile, and you could add people as friends. And a lot of times people might add you back. They might not. So I was just sending messages, like cold messaging thousands of people in a day. And I don't think that's any exaggeration. Trying to get their attention, trying to tell them what I was doing. I was targeting wrestling fans, obviously. And most of them, you know, most of them were cool. Most of them were jumping on board and saying, hey, what's up? You know, like, everybody was cool. And I was able to build a following like that. It was so easy. It was so easy. Like, I typed out this long thing of like, hey, you know, I'm such and such, I do such and such, it's trying to accomplish this. And people were like, yeah, this is cool. And so when I put out what was called a bulletin, if you remember the MySpace days, hey, I'm looking for a co-host, I got a few replies. One of the people that replied to me was a guy named Nick Malone, another guy, John Krauser, and a girl. There was a girl, but she ended up never getting back to me. She was like, hey, I'd love to do it. And I wrote her back, and she's like, you know, never wrote me back. John was kind of like iffy. He's like, well, I got this and that going on. And Nick was like all about it, gung ho. So I went with Nick. Or I was going to go with Nick. But then I talked to him, and I don't think his personality clicked with me. So I went to John. Like, I was really like, you know, and I'm young too, you know, and I've talked with John and Nick in the past and apologize, because I was kind of a dick back then. Like, I was going through a whole thing in my life, and we can do a whole episode on me in 2007. And that's really a whole podcast in general. But I was a dick. And I picked John over Nick. But John was like, well, I got summer camp and things like this. So then I had to call up Nick because I needed a backup when John was out. And if they were both there, then I had two people to bounce off of. And we did that, you know, for a little while. And they each had their quirks. And, you know, I just still wasn't sure about these guys. Honestly, I wasn't sure, you know, like, what these guys were all about. And Nick, I got a message from some girl that says, hey, you know, your co-host tried to, like, you know, mac on me. Like, he was trying to, like, sext me and, like, all this other stuff. And I thought that was a dick move. So I asked him, you know, I asked Nick about it, and on the air, you know, this was something that I did on the air, and he ended up getting fired on the air. And the reaction that I got, there were so many people that were pissed off at me, and rightfully so. Again, you know, I'm younger, I'm stupid, I'm immature, I'm dumb, I'm trying to be shocking because I want to get people to listen to my podcast. And I treat this guy like crap. Rather, he was getting his Mac on with some girl on the internet. People do that every single day. Like, it's none of my business, but I was just, you know, I was young and stupid. And so we ended up firing him on the air. And the reaction I got, both good and bad, to that really struck a nerve with me. And I'm like, you know, maybe I need to really emulate, like, a shock jock type mentality. And this is at the time I was listening to a lot of Sirius satellite radio, which is now known as Sirius XM, shows like Howard Stern and Bubba the Love Sponge. And I was just getting so inspired by these shows, you know, kind of like they had cast of characters and there was fighting on the air and crazy bits. And I was wondering if this was the direction that I should take my show in. And I quickly learned that, in fact, no, it's probably not a good idea, but it got a lot of results. I mean, really, honestly, at the core, it really got a ton of results. At the end of the day, I had people talking. You know, I would fight with my co-host on the air. I would fight with callers. I would ask my co-host to call into other wrestling radio shows on Blog Talk and say, hey, have you ever heard about this show, The Shoot? They suck. That was the name of my show, by the way, The Shoot. They're like, have you ever heard of these guys? They really suck. And then the other guys from the other shows would pile on and be like, yeah, man. Yeah, I heard that show. Because I think there was a lot of these guys that would listen to other wrestling podcasts, you know, to understand what the field was like for competition. And, you know, they were like, oh, yeah, those guys suck, man. They're not entertaining. They don't have guests, blah, 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 blah. And so I would take their audio without their permission and replay it on my show and then, like, basically rip them a new one, you know, like trying to pick fights with these shows, because the idea was, well, hey, you know, I would then send somebody back to their show saying, hey, have you heard the latest episode of The Shoot? They were talking all this trash about you. What happens is then they go and they listen to it. They get fired up and then they go on their show and talk about me for an hour. And my show. And it's like, oh, well, now I'm getting people to listen to my show. I would never encourage this now. This is not something that I would do on my podcast now. Like, I don't run storylines and angles. But back in the day, this was absolutely something that I did. And it drummed up a lot of attention. I'm not going to lie. You know, it really did. I would, you know, fire up these other shows, piss them off, get them to start talking trash about me. I had another segment where I'd go and talk about YouTubers, because YouTubers, in many ways, they also like to stir up stuff. And so you go on YouTube and you get somebody fired up on YouTube. You say, oh, yeah, you know, you're talking trash about them. And, oh my God, I'm just laughing because I'm thinking about how funny this was. So, like, I would send people that had, like, wrestling accounts on YouTube, just, like, you know, comments that, or accounts that weren't, like, you know, people that posted videos, but accounts that would just track other YouTubers and leave comments and stuff like that. And, you know, I'd have them, like, send messages to these YouTubers. Hey, this guy Gary runs this wrestling show on the wrestling radio show, and they were, like, ripping on you guys. And, like, what would happen so many times, we would piss these people off and they would go on YouTube where they had thousands of viewers and start talking trash about me. And in turn, those viewers, of course, the first thing they were going to do was go to my website and go to my show and listen to my show. And then, you know, in a lot of ways, we ended up generating a lot of new listeners this way, because they would come to be mad about me talking crap about their favorite YouTuber, and they'd be like, oh, well, you know, this guy Gary's not half bad. I kind of like, you know, what he's talking about. I can, you know, he's talking about this, and I agree with what he's saying, that kind of stuff. And so we would end up keeping people around, which I thought was quite funny. Then there was the other thing of getting different wrestler interviews, what were known as shoot interviews. So again, I know a lot of you guys may not be like wrestling centric, but you know, there are these things called shoot interviews where these wrestlers would talk out of character at length about backstage things with management and other wrestlers. And that was known as a shoot, hence the name of my show, The Shoot. And we would get different people to talk about different topics to generate buzz. So it's like, okay, let's ask them about this, right? And then they would answer. And a lot of times it would be a compelling quote. And we would type up recaps from these interviews and then email 20 or 30 of the top wrestling websites. And they would all run these articles with a link to the show. And people would read and say, oh my God, this guy said this. Wow, this is crazy. Oh, let me go to the link and listen to the show. Sorry, to take a drink of water. So it was a good generator of buzz for the show. One of the greatest examples was in 2014 where I interviewed the Honky Tonk Man, and he talked a lot of trash about what are known as internet darlings, guys like CM Punk and Daniel Bryan, who were, you know, very popular on the internet, but maybe not widely popular, although I would argue they're widely popular. But to certain people, you know, the internet, their internet darlings, internet favorites. And so he trashed them. I typed all these things up in a quote and sent it out to every wrestling website, and it blew up. I mean, 20, 30, 40,000 downloads for interviews like this were not uncommon. The most famous, we once had a guy who called in late an interview and I hung up on him. That was kind of, at the time, I thought fun, you know, got a lot of buzz from people who were listening live. They're like, oh my God, he's calling in. And, you know, I had been doing kind of like a shtick for the whole show of, oh my God, when this guy calls in, I'm gonna say this, I'm going to say that. And then he called in and I hung up on him. In 2010, there was this group of guys who went to all these TNA wrestling shows. They were called the Crucial Crew, and a lot of people on the internet hated these guys, and I found out who was in these guys on Twitter, and I would message them and say, hey, you want to speak your side on my show? And I was finding different angles that other people weren't doing. There were a lot of wrestling podcasts that were, you know, strictly in the interview business. And what I mean by being in the interview business is they would drum up every wrestler they could possibly get their hands on and book them as guests for their podcast, and there wasn't much other content. Like, they might gloss over pay-per-views because they have this big guest on, and they would try to, and I mean, you could argue big guest, little guest, you know, whatever. But they would book these guests and try to, you know, drum up stuff with that. And my show, I felt, was different in the sense of I did a lot more analysis, and then we'd bring on guests and treat them like a big deal. The most glaring example of this that I can think of, you know, I mentioned I was big into Howard Stern and Bubba the Love Sponge back in, you know, 7 years ago. There was a wrestler called the Honky Tonk Man, and he was kind of like an Elvis impersonator, whatever. I mean, I'm not saying he like was pretending to be Elvis, but he looked a lot like Elvis. He wasn't trying to pretend to be Elvis. He was just borrowing a lot of Elvis. And he had this rivalry with the radio shock jock Bubba the Love Sponge. And being a fan of Bubba's show, I was always trying to, you know, get in with him, find a way to get his attention. Like, what's a way that I can get Bubba's attention so I could be on his radar? Because I would listen to a show and, you know, people would either call into the show, or they had these segments where they would rip on podcasts like, oh, this guy right here, he's doing this podcast, Willie, it's a piece of garbage, you know, or whatever. And I'm like, man, if I could get my podcast mentioned, even if he trashes it, you know, it's still people that are going to go to the website. Cause I, you know, I talked to other people that had their podcast name dropped on Bubba's show, which was on Howard 101 on Sirius, which is the second, you know, probably second most listened to station at that time on Sirius. And, you know, they were getting a lot of traffic as a result. So, you know, I found people from his show, like Tom the Tree Man, who I befriended and got Tom the Tree Man on to talk about all the crazy stunts he did on the show. Send the audio to Bubba and his crew, and Bubba would play clips of my show on his show. And they were trashing it, like, man, this thing sounds like a piece of shiz with a Z cuzzy, and, you know, the quality, it's terrible, blah, 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 blah. And this guy, Gary's talking way too much, and blah, 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 blah. And I was just so damn thrilled because, you know, it was exposure. And even if he trashed me, I was good with it. But anyway, in February, they were trying to get Honky Tonk Man on the phone through another radio show. Honky Tonk Man, they would find out, was doing these different serious talk shows or different radio shows in general, and they would find out about it somehow. And they would try to call in while they were on the air doing their show to, I guess, quote-unquote, ambush the Honky Tonk Man. And whoever was producing these shows would catch wind of this and shut them down pretty quick. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, well, I've got a wrestling radio show. Why can't I get Honky Tonk Man on the show and then tip off Bubba and just let him right through the back door and he can come in and, yeah, excuse me. He can come in and say whatever the hell he wants to him. I'll give him free reign. I'll let him go on here for 20 minutes and rip him a new one if he wants to. I don't care. Because I knew that once this happened, they were going to ask me for this audio, and they were going to play it on Bubba's show on Howard 101 Sirius XM Radio. And I'm just like, damn, I need that exposure. So book Honky Tonk Man on the show. Get him on there, bait him into talking about Bubba, and he's just slamming him. Bubba wasn't available this night, so we got one of his producers, Matt, a.k.a. Spice Boy, to come on the show. Spice Boy sitting on hold. Honky Tonk Man, I ask him, because I know Spice is sitting on hold. I'm like, hey, man, what's your thought about Spice Boy? He's like, yeah, man, I'd baseball bat his ass. And, you know, Honky Tonk Man, he's just talking trash about Matt, Spice Boy, and Spice Boy's sitting on hold listening to it. And I'm like, man, you know, we're going to go to the phones here. I know we got a lot of people that don't like this Bubba guy, and maybe you guys can share stories or whatever BS excuse I came up with. And let's go to line one. Who's on line one? It's Matt in Tampa from the Bubba Show. And oh boy, here we go. Then they just start to, you know, rip each other, you know, a new one, fighting back and forth on the air for 15 minutes, just going back and forth. And this is, to me, is gold. I'm just sitting here like, I'm sorry, guys, excuse me. I'm just sitting here like, just taking it all in. And even Spice at one point is like, hey, man, are you still there? Like, I don't hear you or whatever. I'm like, no, I'm still here. I'm just listening, taking all this in. And so that was fun. And then Honky Tonk Man hung up, Spice Boy hung up, and that was the end of it. I got an email from the producer, and he said, hey, I need this audio. Can you send it? We're going to go live with it tomorrow. Sure enough, I listened in the next day, and Bubba takes about 25, 30 minutes because he's starting and stopping the tape and talking about it. He's like, man, if you're not checking out my boy Gary with the shoot, you got to check him out. Blah, 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 blah. And, you know, we did crazy numbers that weekend. I mean, the Blog Talk servers were damn near tanked that weekend because of all that traffic. And probably about a month or two later, I decided to stop doing the wrestling show. I was like, I'm kind of burned out from talking about all wrestling. And why not go out on top? You know, my co-host at the time, a guy named Alan, he was kind of like, you know, I could tell he was kind of getting burned out, and I was getting burned out, and it was just time to hang it up. So we hung it up. And for the next couple of years, I always I always had aspirations to, you know, bring the show back or do something with the show. And in 2012, I recorded 4 or 5 episodes, which, God, I don't even know where these episodes are, but I recorded like 4 or 5 episodes, like 20, 30 minute shows, just talking wrestling. And I put them out just to, you know, whatever. I had equipment at this point. You know, I had actual real radio equipment. I had a mixing board. I had a microphone. Like, I was set. I was ready to go. So in 2013, I decided to return to radio. And there was a guy, Jack, who had this radio station on the internet. And he was showing me the software that you need to do the show. And I got the software and I connected my equipment and we did it. And in 2013, I reignited the show, brought it back for about a year or two run. I don't edit this stuff, folks. It's all natural. I've had a long day. Forgive me. So I did the live show. And of course, like, this was a different change. Like, it wasn't 100% wrestling. I would mix in some MMA talk, which I did in the old show. But then I also talk about, like, movies, music. Like, I was really, like, all over the place. And by the summer of 2013, I realized I needed a co-host. I got this guy, Chris, out of St. Louis, who was great. That was as a result of a co-host search. And by the way, if you're listening to this and you're like, man, I got to hear this or this or this, if you go to Gary, or if you go to podcast, or no, is it podcast or podcasts.garyspodcast.com? I have all these shows archived, or most of them. I'm still uploading a lot of these older shows, but like the co-host search, that was one of my favorite shows to do. Where I auditioned new co-host and Chris won the show by popular demand of the listeners. I always do polling with the listeners. So yeah, there was just, you know, there was just a lot going on with that. And there was drama with the radio network. I was fighting with other shows, which we started out as, we started out as, you know, kind of like what you call working, doing a bit. And then, you know, I think some of it turned in like legitimate heat on their end. They took it too seriously. They got angry and I don't know. I'd have to go back and listen to all these shows to relive exactly what happened. But basically I was fighting with shows kind of like under the guise of storyline. And some of them got heated than others on a real note. And there was all this fighting between radio shows and radio networks, which caused me to leave the radio network I was on to go to another radio network. And I was on that radio network for a full year. And then I finally decided to stop doing the show altogether. I was just burned out. And in the summer of 2014, I launched WrestlingInformant.com. So WrestlingInformant.com was my answer to people who liked the shoot but didn't like all the wrestling talk, or the wrestling people who didn't like all the life talk, because as you notice in this podcast, it's much more life oriented, and that was kind of where the shoot was going towards the end. And so this was my way to kind of, you know, separate the two off on different paths. And Chris was still with me at the time, and we were doing the shoot. We were doing Wrestling Informant, and then we just decided to end the shoot and do only Wrestling Informant. And we did that for a couple of months, and I think we did like 50-some-odd episodes, and I just got burned out from internet radio altogether. This is kind of the thing that happens with me, is that I kind of go through these cycles where I get burned out on doing something like this. And I made kind of a promise when I started this podcast of like, you know, I'm going to go as long as I think I can add value. And as opposed to just up and leaving and never doing a podcast again, you know, if you notice, like on this show, there's been a couple weeks where I don't do a show and then I come back a week or two later. And that's just to give myself a rest. You know, like if I don't feel there's something interesting, I'm not going to force a show just to do a show. So Wrestling Informant ended, and at some point I decided, man, I should bring the shoot back again, you know, to beat up the dead horse. And that lasted like 2 months, and then it was over at that point. And my radio, internet radio podcasting career, just like that in 2015, was over. Never to be heard from again. But doing all these shows was fun. The Wrestling Informant one we decided to do as a podcast. And I like that format. Like, the one of the things I like about doing this show is that I have a portable recorder, so I can take it anywhere. If I have guests, I can go where they're at. You know, if I, and I'm working on more guests, by the way. If I want to sit in my office with just a microphone, I could do it. If I want to lay on the couch, if I want to lay in bed, if I want to sit on the patio and record a podcast, I can, because it's all portable. The thing I don't like about the older shows was it was always like a certain time I had to be on. And, you know, if I was tired, I was tired. I was tied to a desk because I had a microphone bolted into the desk with a clamp. And I had to sit at this desk for 2 hours and edit audio and, you know, sync up soundboards and mix levels and all this other crap that I just got so burned out on doing. And that's why this podcast is so stripped down. I think this podcast, as a result, is far better for that reason, that there's not a whole lot of extra production. It's just kind of straightforward. Here's a little music, then the podcast starts. And I just think that that makes for a better show, in my opinion. You may agree, you may disagree, but I just think that that is the way to go. And that's how I do it. So, you know, I like this format better. I could see myself sticking to this format for a long time. You know, as far as the shoot, I think I can safely say that's never going to come back ever. I like doing the Gary Cantrell podcast. The thing I like about doing this podcast is it's just me. And I'm talking about stuff that involves me. Like, and not from like the selfish angle, but just like, how do you screw up or get uninvested in yourself? Like, you should never get tired of talking about what's going on with you, because it's what's going on with you. It's what's going on in your life. There's content for days a lot of times, and then sometimes there's not. And in that case, I could take off a week, and it's no big deal. But 10 years, when I look back and I think, my God, I've done 10 years of internet radio and podcasting, that just blows my mind. Like, that to me is just crazy. You know, there was the U broadcast, the Blog Talk Radio, the Now Live, the Mix, the More Like Radio, Radio FUBAR, Radio or Live Fire Radio. There's all these things that just, I don't know, man. So many places I've been, but I really like doing this show, and this is the show I'm going to continue to do, honestly. This is really where it should be, I think. I mean, let me know what you guys think. I mean, that's pretty much my history, 10 years in radio. If you guys have any follow-up questions, let me know. I can come back in a separate episode and address those questions. If you ever have more questions about the history of internet radio and podcasting in the last 10 years, what I've learned, things like that. I mean, I think I've covered most of it. But if you guys have any more questions on it, feel free to drop me a line and we can discuss it. No big deal. Other than that, I mean, that's pretty much the deal. I'm going to continue to do the Gary Cantrell podcast. Wrestling Informant, that's kind of a different thing. Like, that can always come back. Wrestling's never going to go away, but it's just like, do I feel like talking about wrestling? Am I motivated to talk about wrestling? Do I want to come on and just bitch about wrestling because so much of it upsets me? I don't know if I'm ready to do that, and I don't know if I'll ever be ready to do that again, but I might. It was a good brand. That's one thing I noticed. It was a good brand. People seem to enjoy it, but I don't watch wrestling nearly as much as I used to. I mean, I still watch it. I still follow it. I still watch every monthly pay-per-view, but I don't watch each and every Raw and SmackDown like I used to. So I don't know. I'm thinking about it. I'm considering it. We'll see. But I think that's it. That's 10 years of internet radio and podcasting. Again, if you have any questions, feel free to DM me on Instagram or wherever. Gary at garyspodcast.com. Drop me a line. We can do follow-ups and things like that if you guys are interested. But other than that, I want to thank you guys so much for listening again, whether this is your first week, second, third, or you've been listening since the beginning. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you so much for listening to this show, and I'll see you guys next week.